So we're in a series on the Sermon on the Mount, and our big takeaway we're focusing on is that followers of Jesus should be quite unlike the world. So we have a responsive reading we've been doing here at Dover every week to help that settle down into us. So I'm going to lead us in that. Jesus gave these instructions to his followers. We're a community following together, so we encourage each other, be like Jesus, quite unlike the world. Jesus cleared the path to a full life and a hope-filled future. So we follow his way, loving our neighbors and resisting corruption. We journey together on his path as the salt of the earth and the light of the world. May it be so. May it be so. Well, if I could have my esteemed volunteers, Natalie and Kaylee, if you could come up. May, if you could come up. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the first ever Grace Community Church Dover Campus Rocking Chair Race. Can we welcome our competitors? So in the brown chair, we have Kaylee. In the white chair, we have Natalie. The rules of this sport are pretty simple. You're going to rock. It's a sport, it's sweeping across back porches everywhere. It's very simple. We're just going to rock. The first one to pass the center of the stage wins. Okay? My lovely assistant May will come up, wave the flag. When the flag hits the ground, you go, okay? So God bless America. Gentle ladies, start your rockers, May. And they're off. And they're going nowhere. Can somebody get them a lemonade? Because they're not going anywhere. Guys, all the minutes that you have trained for this, that's what makes dreams come true, right? All this training you've put in. We're just going nowhere. Let's encourage them. Come on, a little bit more. Okay, I'm going to call it. We're going to end right here in a tie, right where we began. Let's give them a hand. Let's thank all of them. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. First, you saw two races today, the first and the last. So, it's been said that worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it gets you nowhere. This is funny, but it's heavy, right? Like, anxiety is a real thing. Worry is a real thing. So God, we come to you just grateful for all that you taught us in your word in truth about worry. Would you use it to change us today and help us to trust you more? In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give them a hand one more time. That was fun. You didn't know you had such esteemed athletes in your presence. So here's what Jesus said about worry in his Sermon on the Mount. He says, I tell you not to worry. Don't worry. It's pretty simple, right? He says, I tell you not to worry, and then he reminds us, don't worry. That's about as clear as it gets. But there's so much to worry about, right? Tensions still rage between Russia and Ukraine. There are new trade wars emerging here at home. These ominous threats of a flu pandemic. Measles are back? I thought we fixed that a long time ago. Right? Planes are struggling to stay in the sky. An egg costs $300. AI is going to take over the world. I'm sorry, that's the wrong AI. That's Allen Iverson. I meant artificial intelligence is going to take all the jobs. And our beloved Mavericks. I mean, what's not to worry about there? Rebels are taking over Congo. Persecution of Christians is deepening and spreading. In our phones, we carry traps of pornography and gambling, just a portal of addiction and escape, and we just carry it around. Right? The list goes on and on. The news cycle never ends. But Jesus says, I tell you not to worry. Don't worry. I want to be really, really clear. There are times when anxiety and fear need professional help or medical intervention, right? Counseling can bring healing, and medicine can bring stability. Those are wonderful tools for help and recovery, and sometimes are absolutely necessary. Today, what Jesus is talking about is the kind of worry that's a choice. It's a lifestyle. It's every day choosing an undulating uncertainty of dwelling on doubt, of focusing on fear. It's the kind of worry, he says, that dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. And this world that we live in is consumed with worry. But Jesus says that his followers should be quite unlike the world. Right? That's a theme throughout the entire Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, hey, you've heard it said. Or these people who you live around do it this way. But when you follow me, you should be different from the world. And Jesus modeled this. Right? There's a story in Luke chapter 8. It says, one day, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they got into a boat and they started out. And as they sailed across, Jesus settled down for a nap. But soon a fierce storm came down on the lake. The boat was filling with water and they were in real danger. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, Master, Master, we're going to drown. And when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and the raging waves. Suddenly the storm stopped and all was calm. And then he asked them, where is your faith? There was plenty to worry about. It says there was real danger, right? The wind, the waves, the water spilling into the boat. Their beautiful beards were getting wet. Like there were real things to worry about. But then when Jesus spoke peace, all was calm. Right? There are two separate statements there. That the wind and the waves stopped, the storm stopped. And all was calm. Right? He stopped the storm, and when he spoke peace, all was calm. The disciples who thought they were about to die, they were calmed. So when Jesus speaks, all is calm. And then Jesus took that moment to say, where is your faith? When everything was calm, he said, where is your faith? So this path of following Jesus is one that tends to put a pebble in our shoe. A friend of mine taught me this concept, and he's here today. I'm glad he's here to hear this. It drops a pebble in our shoe, right? Following Jesus, it drops a pebble in our shoe that irritates us. It makes us evaluate our walk. It makes us think about the steps we're taking. And the pebble in our shoe today is this. When worry appears, where is my faith? In the situation or in the one who holds it all together? Not if, but when worry appears, where is my faith? In the situation or in the one who holds it all together? Will this day be a day that I choose undulating uncertainty and dwelling on doubt and focusing on fear? Or will I trust that Jesus is seated on the throne, holding it together, and he's got my stuff under control too? Which will I choose? Again, I just want to be really intentional and emphasize this is not about overwhelming anxiety or debilitating fear. It's not about the kind of anxiety that gets us more and more anxious because we're anxious, right? This is the kind of worry that's chosen. Those conditions exist. They are real. And I'm happy to talk to you about how we can get help for you. But this is one that knows who God is, but then chooses to worry. You know God provided for you yesterday. You know that today he met your needs. I didn't say once. He met your needs. He did it yesterday. He did it today. But you worry he won't do it tomorrow. Or he walked you through that valley. Right? He walked you through that season of heartache. He walked you through that health crisis. He walked you through that addiction. Right? He delivered you from that season that you thought would never end. He brought you through it. And you know that, but then you worry he won't do it for somebody you care about. Right? This is a worry that we choose. Now, the original audience that gathered to hear Jesus teach this sermon, there was an expression they were familiar with. It was one that was used by a lot of Jewish teachers at the time, and it's this: he who has a loaf in his basket and who says, "What will I eat tomorrow?" is a man of little faith. Right, Jesus' original audience would have known this saying. The person who has, but says, "Man, will I have tomorrow?" doesn't have a lot of faith. Jesus says we don't have to worry. When we know who God is and we know what he's done, we don't have to worry. And another theme we've seen throughout the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus being more concerned with our hearts than the way we appear. Because you might appear on the outside like you're crushing it. Right, you're killing it. You are doing awesome. But inside, you are collapsing under stress and worry. But here's the thing. Jesus cares about your heart. He cares about the desires that lead your heart. Right, because it's what's in our heart that guides our worry and our actions and our decisions. That's why he says, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Jesus cares about your heart. He cares about the reason you worry. And he doesn't just want to write a prescription to stop your worry. He wants to cure the disease that causes your worry. So like the good physician that he is, in order to diagnose, he asks some questions. So he asks, "This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing?" You know, that's an easy question to read and just go by, but we're going to put the rocking chair race on a yellow caution flag, and we're going to slow down and we're going to ask again, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Is it? Is your life more than just not dying? Is your body more than just this temporary tent we carry around? Do you really believe that Jesus was God and came here to give his life to be broken so you could be made whole? Do you really believe that God will supply all of your needs through the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus? Jesus says, do you believe that? And he goes on to ask another question. If he said, if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. So why do you have so little faith? That's a hard one, right? Why do you have little faith? Let's go one step further. Fly the red flag. We're going to stop the rocking chair race. I thought this metaphor would carry through better, but we're going to stop the race, and we're going to ask that question, why do we have little faith? That question, before we answer that, let's ask, what is faith? Right? If Jesus is saying, do you have it, or why is it not stronger, let's ask what it is. Every week when you come in, on the table in the commons, or the two tables in the back by the lamps, there are sermon notes that have all these high points of the sermon in them. If you just need to get up and move around, feel free to grab one. If you need to top off your coffee, now's a good time to do that. You can grab the sermon notes. But the first point on your sermon notes is faith is believing something is true. Very simple, basic place to start. Faith is believing something is true. Right? I believe that this rocking chair is solid, and if I sit in it, it will hold me up. Right? I'm glad it didn't fall apart. My metaphor would have gone with it. I bought this for my wife, Christy, so I made sure it was the nicest one I could find. Right? I did that because I love her, but I also did it because I've found out what I can't trust. See, we had this old rocking chair that had weathered a lot of Texas summers, and it was wobbly and creaky and splintery and squeaky. And one Sunday evening, I was grilling. I called my mom just to chat and catch up. We started talking, and I sat in the rocking chair, and I went straight through it. And there's this moment of silence, and then I heard laughter erupt from inside my home. But I've found out what I can't trust, right? So I've found out how important it is to believe, to know what's true. So step one, faith is believing something is true. The second part of faith is acting on that belief and living by it. Believe something's true and then acting on it. It's not just believing that this chair will support me, right? It's actually sitting in it and even relaxing and enjoying it, right? Faith is believing something's true and then living in that belief. Hebrews 11 says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever draws near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. And that, you know, throughout the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about reward. And that's a tricky, idea to figure out. What does he mean? What does this mean that God rewards us, right? It says faith pleases God. So what's the reward for faith? Ephesians 2:8, by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your doing, it's the gift of God. So this tells us the reward of faith is that it saves us. It's through faith that our body is more than clothing, that life is more than food. The reward of faith is that we are not like the wildflowers here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow. So Jesus asked, why do you have so little faith? So if you're here today and don't have faith in Jesus as your Savior, he says, why? My guess would be, one answer could be your past, right? You've done stuff. You think, man, he can't like me, much less love me. I need to live a better life for God to love me, right? Let me read again what I just read. By grace, you have been saved through faith. It is not your own doing. It's the gift of God. It says it's done. You can't earn it because it's already done. You're invited to have faith in it and have the reward of being saved. Or maybe you just always thought this whole Christianity thing is kind of silly, right? You don't need this magic man in the sky. And you're strong, right? You're capable. You're good enough. You're smart enough. And doggone it, people like you. The people with no smiles on their faces, you can tell what year they were born. They just have no idea. And so that's the thing. You are good enough. You are smart enough. And people do like you. And I believe that. And it's true until it's not. You are smart and capable enough until you're not. We will find the end of our own abilities one day. Right? We will face a situation one day that we find the end of our strength. We will all get a phone call one day that pulls that chair out from under us. We will all face a decision one day that we ask, is my life more than food? Is my body more than clothing? Is there a God who cares about me? Am I going to trust that and have faith in that? Was Moses handed the leadership reins of Israel over to Joshua, he gave him this word from God, and I want to pass it along to you today. He says, do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will never fail you nor abandon you. And we need that encouragement because this life is hard, right? It's hard. Your body is more than clothing, life is more than food, and it's hard. It's scary. And Jesus knows that because you have to remember, he was here. He looked Satan in the eyes. He was betrayed by people who loved him. Right? He was crushed. All those reasons that we say, well, God can't love me. Jesus died under the weight of those things. But he didn't stay there. He is alive. He is alive today. He is seated on the throne. He's holding the whole world together. and he's got your stuff under control too. So we can trust him when he encourages us and says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. He says today has real worries, and you know what? Tomorrow will too. Those worries exist, but they don't need to dominate our thoughts, because as worries come tomorrow, so will God's mercy. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning, and I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I hope in him. So worry is real, but God's faithfulness is greater. Worries are here today, and they will come back tomorrow, and so will God's mercy. So our thoughts don't have to be dominated by worry. We don't have to choose worry, because he is our inheritance. In our faith, there is hope. And when our faith is in Jesus, we have a life that's more than food, a body that's more than clothing, and a God who cares about us. But worries are real. So Jesus says, hey, when worry gets overwhelming, here's what you do. Keep on asking, and you'll receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, you'll find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Jesus says, when worry chases you down, knock on my dad's door. He will let you in and protect you. Right? When worry says, you don't matter. You're overwhelmed by the situation because you don't matter. God says, well, come find identity and meaning in me. And when worry says, you got nowhere to go, you put yourself in the situation, there's nowhere to go, God opens his arms and says, come to me. So I'm going to drop the pebble in our shoe one more time. When worry appears, where is my faith? In the situation or in the one who holds it together? Because I want you to think about this. God provided for our greatest need. Right? He saved us, he redeemed us, and gave us eternal life through the life, death, and resurrection of his son Jesus. He did that without us worrying. He can meet every need you have today without you worrying. You might have walked in this morning feeling like your life is falling apart. It's a dumpster fire, and it is just pure chaos. But Jesus says you don't have to worry. Your situation doesn't change God. He's still on the throne, holding the world together, and he's got your stuff under control too. Right? He's not on a panic Zoom call trying to figure out the solution to today's problem. He's still able to take a nap on the boat surrounded by storm clouds. Right? As the enemy prowls around, he still holds the keys of death in the grave. The worries of this world don't change him. He's still got time to feed the birds. He is still making sure the fields are full of beautiful lilies. He's still appreciating the wildflowers on our Texas highways in the spring. Our worries don't change him, right? He knows your needs. And he can meet every single one of them without you worrying. As we seek first his kingdom, he will meet every single one. We can trust God. We can rest in him because he will take our worries and he will take care of us. So I just want to give us a moment. Worship team, you can come up. I just want to take a moment. What are you worried about? Right? Maybe it's a relentless thing that seems to be there all the time. Maybe it's something new. What are you worried about? And get real. If you were awake last night and couldn't sleep, what was it? Because it does us no good if we just hear truth from God's word and pick our worries up and walk out with them, right? He invites us to come to him, lay them at his feet. He'll take them away and he'll take care of us. And this isn't a magical one-time thing, right? This is something he invites us to do every day. There's a reason his mercy is new today. It'll be new tomorrow. But for now, just in this moment, what is making you worry? God, we come to you with the things that make us worry. And we trust it to you. We lay it down to you. Ask that you'd help us to do it again. When it pops back up today, when it raises its head tomorrow, help us to remember who you are and what you've done. That you are faithful, that you are not changed by the things that scare us, that are hard for us. You are who you are, who you've always been, who you always will be. God, thank you for the gift it is to gather, to worship you, to be together. I thank you for all the families here and the kids here and just the hope of the future that we see here. I thank you for the wisdom that is here, for the life that's been experienced. I even thank you for the challenges, for the heartaches that are represented here, because those are also proof of your faithfulness. And God, there are people here today walking through a valley, so I pray that you would lift up their head, that they would know that you are there, that your rod and your staff would comfort them. I pray for families, for teachers, for students, for administrators who are on spring break this week. Pray that it would be a restful time, be a time that they would be protected and safe, they'd have fun and make memories as a family. Pray for anyone here today who feels alone, that this gathering of people would become more than that it would become a community that they know and they are known. God, I pray for people who are scared this morning, if it's a financial struggle they're facing, if it's a health issue. God, none of that is beyond your care. I thank you for all the ways that we are weak, God, that you are strong. Thank you, God, for this place. Thank you for the history and the heritage that's happened here, and just pray for the future that we would seek your kingdom first and trust you to provide all that we need. So, God, thank you for your goodness, for your faithfulness. We lay our worries down before you, God. We trust them to you. Tomorrow has enough worries of its own, so help us today to just trust you. Trust your faithfulness. We pray all this in Jesus' name, and all the church said, amen. Amen.